All right, guys, we're 7 days into the new year, and it's getting more and more weird. Canada. Is Canada shifting right? Justin Trudeau has officially stepped down. Who's going to fill his shoes? And what in the world? Wait till you hear what Mark Zuckerberg of Meta, Facebook, CEO, founder, what he just said about the direction that Facebook is heading. Then we're going to talk about black swans, black swan events, harbingers. We've got more harbingers this year. We've got blood moons falling on feast days of Israel, significant feast days. What does all this mean? Well, we've got you covered today. We've got a jam-packed episode, so stick around. We want you to get up to date on everything that we're going to talk about today. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what is going on, guys? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We are at 1 week, 7 days. Today is the seventh day mark of the new year of 2025. It started out with chaos, and now it's taken a bizarre turn. It's taken a bizarre shift, and we're gonna kick it off at the top of the hour today with some interesting stuff that's going on in Canada, and then some stuff that's shaking up the social media world. Before we get started, guys, can you do us a favor? Hit that like button. That's going to help us get the articles out there, get the report out there, get us to be seen on these social media platforms. That would be a great blessing to us, and then to be a blessing to you. Why don't you go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, and then take it a step further. Go ahead and download our free app. It's available on Apple, Android. Again, depending on what your device is, go to your store, your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, download our free app today, and then hit yes to push notifications, and then you're good. You're going to be notified when we go on here, like these broadcasts. All of our articles, our breaking news, everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. So we're going to kick it off today. We're going to start with what's going on with Canada. Look at this article. I'm going to show you this. This just happened yesterday. Trudeau is set to resign as Canada's prime minister. Yes, yes. Canada is celebrating. Yes, yes. All right, calm down. All right, so the ruling party is to choose the new leader. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced his resignation Monday, saying he would leave office as soon as his party chooses a new leader. Now, who's this going to be? Well, everyone's speculating. With slumping polls and internal division taking their toll, the pressure has mounted on Justin Trudeau. After more than 9 years in power, Trudeau's support within the ruling Liberal Party began crumbling in 2024 due to intensifying public criticism focused on the rising cost of living. His authority was then shaken by the surprise departure last month of his finance minister and deputy prime minister, Chrystia Freeland.
Despite best efforts to work through it, Parliament has been paralyzed for months after what has been the longest session of a minority parliament in Canadian history. This country deserves a real choice in the next election, and it has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election.
The embattled prime minister went on to say Canada's parliament will be suspended until March 24th while a new leader of his party is chosen.
So there is, I saw a headline in Drudge that said, is Canada shifting right? Now, I don't know how many Canadian brothers and sisters we have in the chat that listen to our program. If you're able to comment, we would love to hear your insight. Is Canada shifting right? Are they following in the footsteps of America? America just voted. America voted red. The vast majority of Americans voted red. There's a new sheriff coming in town. He'll be here in 13 days. He will be inaugurated as the next president of the United States of America. And it appears that there's a massive shakeup happening right now. Not just in the political realm, but even in the social media realm. Now, we're going to get into that. But remember, Canada has been far more tyrannical when it comes to certain policies, regulations, censorship. Remember, they were the ones that were responsible when there was that protest that broke out. This was back in, 2019, 2020, somewhere when the pandemic was happening, and all those truckers were protesting. And remember, the Canadian government under Trudeau seized their bank accounts, just basically shut them down. And that, I think that incident was one of many that put a bad taste in a lot of Canadians' mouth, because they saw the tyranny and the this tyrannical regime and its reach, how far it was taking its reach and censoring its citizens, and even our brothers and sisters, the ministers there in Canada, they were being silenced. They were being censored. In fact, most of our Canadian brothers and sisters can't even read our stuff. When we share stuff on Facebook, they can't read it. It's banned. So it's going to be interesting. One, it's going to be interesting to see who fills Trudeau's shoes. Number two, it's going to be interesting to see if they will start lifting some of these restrictions, howbeit social media. Now, that brings me to another story I want to talk about. And that is, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Now, we shared this on our main website, but this is huge news. And I want to show you this. Here's the headline. Meta, aka Facebook, ends its fact-checking program as Mark Zuckerberg vows to restore free expression on Facebook and Instagram. Now, is this too good to be true?
We're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the U.S.
Wow, this is a big deal. Changes include ending its third-party fact-checking program and lifting restrictions on topics such as immigration and gender identity.
Well, is there anything more important to talk about? Also, until now, Meta used automated systems to scan for violations, but found they resulted in too much censorship. So, from now on, they'll focus on tackling illegal and severe violations like terrorism, fraud, to name a few.
And joining us right now to name one, a Fox and Friends exclusive, Meta's Chief Global Affairs Officer, Joel Kaplan, joins us live here on the couch. Joel, welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joel. Great to be here on the couch on Fox and Friends.
It's great to have you here. Okay, so you were announcing these big changes as of 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
If you're making big changes, does that mean you were doing something wrong before?
Look, this is a great opportunity for us to reset the balance in favor of free expression. As Mark says in that video, what we're doing today is we're getting back to our roots in free expression. There's a number of changes we're making, but if I could, I'd just highlight three.
Yep.
First is, as you heard, we're eliminating the third-party fact-checking system. Well-intentioned at the outset, but there's just been too much political bias in what they choose to fact-check and how, so we're just scrapping it entirely.
What do you mean? You mean you.
The fact-checkers.
You set up your... But they're yours.
fact checkers, right? So the idea was they're independent fact checkers, but they've just been too biased. And so what we're going to do instead is adopt a system like X has of community notes. So we're just going to rely on our own community of users to provide people more information about what they're seeing. And we think that's going to work.
So give us an example. If we said, if the headline is Donald Trump won the presidency, then anyone in the community can write notes underneath it?
Yeah, great question. So somebody can write a note, and then the way it works is different people on the platform can sort of vote on that note. And if you get people who usually disagree, who all say, yeah, that sounds right, then that note gets put on the post and people see it. X has been doing it for a while. We think it's working really well, and we're going to adopt that system.
So, and what are the other ones you want?
Yeah, yeah,
I know you want to go.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. So the second one is about the rules that govern content on our platform. They've just become too restrictive over time about what people can say, including about those kind of sensitive topics that you mentioned that people want to discuss and debate, immigration, trans issues, gender. We want to make it so that, bottom line, if you can say it on TV, you can say it on the floor of Congress, you certainly ought to be able to say it on Facebook and Instagram without fear of censorship. So we're changing those rules. And then the last thing, if I could, we're also going to change how we enforce the rules, and we're going to make it so that there's way less over-enforcement and way fewer mistakes that actually make up the vast majority of censorship that people experience on our platforms. So big changes, all in service of getting us back to our values of free expression. So,
all right, guys, I've got to hear your comments on this. We want to hear from you in the chat. What do you think about this? I think... So the question is, why now? Well, again, a new sheriff is in town. Now we talked about this. I said the winds of change are here, guys. The majority has spoken. People are sick. I believe the momentum is shifting. The woke agenda is crumbling. The LGBTQ agenda is crumbling. The censorship, the banning, the tyranny of the social media giants, all this stuff is coming to a head now. Enough people has now risen up, rose their voices. They've raised their voices, excuse me, when we use proper English, or they're raising their voices and they're expressing that they're done with this. And now I believe Zuckerberg sees this. He sees the writing on the wall. And he sees that if we don't go in the way, and you got to remember, Zuckerberg just recently had a meeting with Donald Trump. I don't know what was exchanged there, but there's been some interesting developments with Meta. So let's read a little bit more detail. Quote, this is a great opportunity for us to reset the balance in favor of free expression. I know it's hard for me to... I cannot believe I'm hearing this coming from Facebook. As Mark says in that video, what we're doing is we're getting back to our roots and free expression. Meta's third-party fact-checking program was put in place after the 2016 election and had been used to, quote, manage content and misinformation on its platforms, largely due to political pressure, executives said, but admitted the system has gone too far. We've been screaming this for years. We went to independent third-party fact-checkers. It has become clear there is too much political bias in what they choose to fact-check, because basically they get to fact-check whatever they see on the platform. Thank you. Kind of like the drones when they fact-check one of our posts. When we said that there was rumors... Because nobody knows what they really are. Now, they're probably, I mean, obviously there is somebody out there. There is a group. There is an entity out there. There is an organization out there that knows what they truly are, what their purpose was, and what the intent was. But I'm talking about us common people who don't have that kind of knowledge or that access to that information. We rely on information that we gather, and there was all kinds of speculation on what the intent was, who they belonged to, and there still is. So when we presented one of those hypotheses, We were fact-checked by independent fact-checkers. And I'm like, and this was absolutely laughable. Because you cannot fact-check someone posting something when the entire U.S. intelligence, the government, the FBI, the CIA, and local officials, none of them have any answers and they don't know, but you're going to tell me your independent fact checkers from Zuckerberg knows what they are and they can fact check your post? Give me a break, guys. I mean, that's ridiculous. So yes, it has gone too far. We agree. Again, they are replacing this with what is called community notes. Now, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We're on X. ETH is on X. End Time Headlines is on X. But I don't share a lot. I mean, we share stuff there, but I'm just not on there. I don't read X. Very rarely. Now, a lot of you may do that, but I just don't. I guess I'm just, I know X is kind of like a, for, I don't know, the younger generation maybe. I know you got TikTok. You got levels of this, okay? TikTok is like the youngest of the youngest. Then you got, and then it goes back. I think it goes to Instagram, then Twitter, and then Facebook is like all of us older folks. That's kind of where, you know, that's where we, and then, look, I'm telling you, oh, Tom, y'all remember Tom over there at MySpace? I mean, he missed, if old Tom was still around, it'd be interesting where MySpace would have been. I mean, I know MySpace is still up for musicians and artists and stuff like that. But at one time, it was the Facebook at one time. And I thought it was really cool, to be honest with you. Anyway, I don't want to get all sidetracked there. I'll start going down nostalgia lane and all that stuff. But here's the point I'm trying to make. And that is, I'm honestly not familiar with this, what this community notes is. I'll just be honest with you, because I don't get on Twitter much. I've never, or X, I'm sorry. Now it makes me want to go through and read a lot of posts on X just so I can see that those community notes pop up. Instead of going to some so-called expert, now it's interesting that they're throwing their own independent fact checkers under the bus. These are the guys, they hired these guys to independently fact check their posts, and now they're throwing them under the bus. Unbelievable. Instead, it relies on the community and the people on the platform to provide their own commentary to something that they've read. Yeah, thank you. Freedom of speech. Is it finally here? Or is this a facade? We're going to find out. We think that's a much better approach rather than relying on so-called experts who bring their own biases into the program. You are the one who hired these guys. This is unbelievable. This is like I can't believe we're reading this. Kaplan also told Fox News that Meta is changing some of its own content moderation rules. Wow. Okay. Especially those that they feel are, quote, too restrictive and not allowing enough discourse around sensitive topics like immigration, trans issues, and gender. Wow. Okay. We want to make sure that discourse can happen freely on the platform without fear of censorship. Again, it sounds too good to be true. I'm going to have to wait and see on this. We have the power to change the rules and make them for more supportive of free expression. And we're not just changing the rules. We're actually changing how we enforce the rules. All right, guys. So again, I'd love to hear your insight on this. So now we got that out of the way. Now we're going to get to the real, because let me put this in perspective here. This is like, you know what this reminds me of? This is like what Paul said in the New Testament. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. So while everybody, you know, we're cheering and we can't believe that, oh my gosh, we got free speech coming back. While we may be given a reprieve on freedom of speech on social media, and it is yet to be determined. Here's another thing I thought of. It's going to be interesting to see what Google does now. Will Google buckle under pressure? And when we talk about Google, we're talking about YouTube. because YouTube does a lot of censoring and stuff as well. So it's going to be interesting to see if they will cave to pressure. Is the pressure coming on with this momentum of freedom of expression and freedom of speech that's sweeping across America and even going into Canada? It's going to be interesting to see how Google will respond to this. Now, I'm going to move on. I'm going to show you an article that I came across that I definitely want to talk about today. I mean, let me just pull this up. The incredible world-altering black swan events that could upend life in 2025. Let's get into this. Now, again, this is from Politico, so this is not a Christian publication, but they talk about some events that they propose that could be black swan events. Now, when we say black swan, what are we talking about? By definition, a black swan event refers to a rare, unpredictable, and highly impactful event that is extremely difficult to foresee, but often seems obvious in hindsight. Let me say that one more time, because when we get into this, it's going to be interesting. Again, by definition, a black swan event is a rare, unpredictable, and highly impactful event that is extremely difficult to foresee, but often seems obvious in hindsight. Okay, now that's very interesting. Keep that in mind. Often is obvious in hindsight. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but we will go through some of these. All right, here's one of these events that they're calling a black swan event that could be coming in 2025. And they're calling this the largest cyber attack in history. Let me read this. 2025 could easily see the largest cyber attack in history, taking down at least for a little while some sizable piece of the world's infrastructure, whether for deliberate ransom or to manipulate people to make money off a short on global markets. Cybercrime is already a huge multi-trillion-dollar program, and one that most victims don't like to talk about. It is said to be bigger than the entire global drug trade. Four things could make it much worse in 2025. First, generative AI, rising in popularity and declining in price, is a perfect tool for cyber attackers. Although it is unreliable and prone to hallucinations, it is terrific at making plausible sounding text. These talking about phishing attacks to trick people into revealing credentials. And this is happening more and more, guys. Deep fake videos at virtually zero cost, allowing attackers to broaden their attacks. Already a cyber crew built a Hong Kong bank out of $25 million. Number two, the largest language models are notoriously susceptible to jailbreaking and things like prompt injection attacks, for which no known solution exists. And the third, we're talking about cyber attacks here. Generative AI tools are increasingly being used to create code. In some cases, those coders don't fully understand the code written, and the auto-generated code has already been shown in some cases to introduce new security holes. And then finally, in the midst of all this, the new U.S. administration seems determined to deregulate as much as possible, slashing costs and even publicly shaming employees. Federal employees who do their jobs may be frightened, and many will be tempted to look elsewhere. Enforcement and investigations will almost certainly decline in both quality and quantity. Now, again, obviously, this is written from Politico, so you got to keep that in mind. There's going to be a political bias here. So, again, don't miss it, though. They're saying that one of these black swan events for 2025 could be a major cyber attack. Now, again, this is nothing new. FBI, see, all the three-letter agencies, they all have warned about this, that our grid could be vulnerable. Our grid could be up for vulnerability to be taken down. All right, here's another one. The outbreak soon reaches epidemic proportions. An infectious disease outbreak occurs in a small rural community. This isn't a hypothesis, by the way. An infectious disease outbreak occurs in a small rural community that is poorly given the jab. The initial symptoms are flu-like with fever, headache, muscle aches, and sore throat. Local officials initially believe it's a seasonal influenza outbreak, but initial test results for typical viral illnesses like flu, the womp-womp virus, and RSV are all negative. Health officials eventually identify patient zero as someone who has just returned from overseas where an outbreak of an undiagnosed disease has sickened and killed over 100 people. Gee, it's kind of like what's happening right now in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Or what about China that has another mystery illness, a mystery virus that's taking off? And their government is censoring stuff. So this is, I mean, they're literally, this is happening in some essence as we speak. The State Health Department is called in to investigate, and after a couple of days, that's laughable. A couple of days, we still don't know what's going on in the DRC, and it's been weeks. So is the CDC and prevention. Oh boy, they're on the scene. Local officials are reluctant to impose traditional public health measures like contact tracing, masking, social distancing, and quarantine of exposed individuals because of fears of community hostility. I love the, you can see the political hostility, the political agenda that's running through this. Okay, I mean, anybody else see this? Because again, it's written by Politico. In fact, the impacted community recently passed a law limiting the health department's powers to control infectious disease outbreaks. All right, tell me that's not a shot against RFK right there. Because they've all been saying that when he's been given the powers that he's going to start flipping tables on the USDA, the FDA, the pharmaceutical industry, all this stuff. So that's a direct shot right there at him. As a result, public health officials can do little. Social media, meanwhile, is full of, quote, misinformation. You got to love. And at least one post that says the disease is spread through the mail has been identified as being amplified by a hostile foreign actor. Boy, these people are going to be foaming at the mouth if Zuckerberg holds true to what he's saying about what he's going to do to Meta, because they're going to lose their minds over this. All right, guys, I don't want to read the rest of that hypothesis. I just want to get right to the point. What they're basically implying here is that one of the black swan events coming for 2025 is the fruition of what they've been saying is the next pandemic. And we've said, you better keep an eye on this bird flu, because what, again, we shared this. One doctor and researcher said that we're at DEFCON 3 with this. Other so-called experts, and again, I am not telling you that I agree with them. Trust me, I believe I'm with you all the way as far as the propaganda of this, about the agenda of this. So again, please don't lecture me in the comments and wake up. You know, listen, we're wide awake. We know what's going on. We're just telling you what the narrative is that they're giving us. We're just relaying to you the mainstream media and what they're saying. And they're telling us that the bird flu is one mutation away from becoming human to human. And the victim in Louisiana, we were told, even though he was 65, even though he had underlying health conditions already, but he's the first official bird flu death in America with this current H1N1, this avian flu, this bird flu virus. That's the one I'm paying attention to. And I would not be surprised if in 2025, this thing does exactly what this hypothesis is saying. How about this one, guys? A two-state solution. Translation, the dividing of Israel for peace and land for peace for a Palestinian state. That's what this is talking about. Let's just read this. Let me pull this up again, and I'm going to read this to you. Quote, I think the most surprising big black swan would be in the Middle East, and it would be a movement toward a two-state solution for the decades-long conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. Now, keep in mind, guys, this is written for 2025 in mind, which means this won't be the Biden administration initiating this peace process or this two-state solution. This would be under Donald Trump, who, by the way, has already initiated the Abraham Accords and has been very successful with this. So let me ask you a question. Is it possible that Trump will continue these Abrahamic Accords and even go as far as bringing in a two-state solution, a Palestinian state? Now, if that's the case, what does that mean? Quote, calling for a two-state solution is the default option for the Western leaders lamenting the conflict, but the odds against it, at least over the next year, are overwhelming. Yeah, because Trump, but you know why it's overwhelming? One, you've got Trump who has, now you may not agree with a lot of them, and I don't, but a lot of his spiritual advisors, one thing I can say, and I know one of them is Jensen Franklin, and he is very pro-Israel, and he has a mouth to the ear of the president of the United States. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the pressure came on Trump to divide Israel and for a two-state solution, I'm telling you, at least I know Jensen Franklin would quickly be like strongly against that and oppose that, among other leaders as well. All right, logically, it would require a new Israeli government that pushes right-wing politicians to the sidelines. Israel would also have to dismantle a sizable number of its West Bank settlements. Now, keep in mind, you need to go back and watch yesterday's podcast. There is rumors. Again, I can't say that this is going to happen for sure, but we're only sharing the reports that Biden, there is a chance in the next 2 weeks that Biden is going to try to blindside Israel and try to, quote unquote, punish them in this very thing by passing these certain UN legislations that will pressure Israel and giving up land, again, to the Palestinians, especially there on the West Bank. All right, he goes on to say the Palestinians would have to find a way to come together under new leadership that could represent them in negotiations, and there would have to be some agreement on reconstruction and governance for Gaza. Finally, we would need a big push for major Arab governments, and especially Saudi Arabia and the UAE. This connotation of events is so improbable as to move it to the top of my black swan candidate list. All right, here's another one. A market crash triggers a global panic. Wow. Now, a lot of economists, again, have warned that because of Trump's stance against China and against tariffs, but putting these tariffs in place against China and so forth, some of them have said that this is going to cause tremendous pressure on the economy. Again, not my opinion, theirs, and they say that this could cause major problems with the stock market and with the economy in 2025. Even Elon Musk has come out and said that in the beginning, this could be painful economically, and we could see market upheaval. But he said that the hope is that this will eventually resolve itself, and then we will be better off in the long run. Again, I am not an economist, so I cannot give you greater insight on that. I'm only echoing, again, what other sources have said, both from the right and from the left. So again, they're saying one black swan event could be a market crash triggering a global pandemic. Here's another one. I'm going to show you this. Unexpected geopolitical alliances and realignments. Interesting. They're calling this a black swan event. We're talking about BRICS. BRICS adding more members. We're talking about Middle Eastern nations forming alliances. Could this be the year that we see us go closer in step with prophecy? Gog, Magog, Ezekiel 38:39, Psalm 83. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out too. All right, now I want to talk about this because as you saw on the title of this podcast, we talked about black swan events and harbingers. I thought this was very interesting, and I knew I was going to have to talk about this. All right, look at it. This is a headline from CBN News. Three blood moons are coming soon, and you won't believe when the first one hits. Okay, let's read this. All right, some remarkable celestial signs will be on display in the coming months that may hold prophetic significance for our world. This series of four heavenly phenomena includes two lunar events over the next 14 months that appear to represent a possible message about Israel. Keep this in mind. It all kicks off with a total lunar eclipse known as a, quote, blood moon that will appear over the United States on, mark your calendars, folks, March 14, 2025. A blood moon over the U.S. on March 14, 2025. Why is that significant? Because this particular blood moon will fall directly on the Jewish day of Purim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. This is huge because it's one thing to have a blood moon. That this is a normal event. Lunar eclipses are completely normal. They fall on cycles. It happens all the time. But watch this. Again, according to the ancients, according to the rabbis, when blood moons are visible on Jewish feast days, this is a significant sign to the nation of Israel. Many times it is a harbinger of war and conflict. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, the fact that this blood moon is not appearing over Israel, but it is forming over the United States of America on the Feast of Purim. By the way, Purim, if you want to know the significance of that, this is when, if you go read the book of Esther, this is when Esther was, she had to rely on calling her people to a full three-day water-only fast, and she fasted and consecrated herself before the Lord, and they cried out to the Lord, and God intervened and through Esther's courage and through her call to call the Jewish people to a fast, God completely reversed the assignments of Persia, of quote-unquote modern-day Iran, from annihilating the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go on record and tell you this. This is significant. The fact that there is a blood moon that's going to appear over America on the Feast of Purim, this, to me, is a huge warning that, listen, it is very possible that the new President of the United States, Donald Trump, is going to somehow be involved. Now, we know he's going to be involved in the Middle East, but is he going to be directly involved with something to deal with Israel and Iran? Again, the Bible calls Iran Persia. Could it be possible that we're going to see some type, this thing's going to boil over and there's going to be a conflict between Israel and Iran? Again, this resurfaces again. And then now Trump is in the middle of this. How's he going to handle it? Look, I'm just going to tell you, there was some articles. Let me show you some stuff here that I thought is intriguing. This is from Axios. Biden discussed plans to strike Iran's nuclear sites if Tehran speeds towards bomb. Now this is under the Biden administration. Let's read a little bit of this. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan presented President Biden with options for a potential U.S. attack on Iran's nuclear facilities if the Iranians move towards a nuclear weapon before January 20th. This was in a meeting several weeks ago that remained secret until now. Three sources with knowledge of the issue again revealed this to Axios. A U.S. strike on Iran's nuclear program during the lame duck period would be an enormous gamble for a president who promised he would not allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. But who would also risk handing a fresh conflict over to his successor? Biden did not green light a strike during the meeting and has not done so since. Okay, but how will Trump handle Iran if they advance towards the creation of a nuclear bomb? Here is another report. Look at this headline. Iran 2025, nuclear crisis awaits Trump. Iran's recent nuclear advances gives President Trump a crucial decision to make in his first months in office. Now think about it, January February, March, and then April is when Purim happens, which this blood moon is going to be seen over America, and Trump will be in office. All right, so he's got a crucial decision to make in these coming months to try to neutralize the threat through negotiations and pressure or order a military strike. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is major. All of you guys, listen, I want to apologize real quick. We were not able to come on last night to our Monday night prayer, but we are doing this tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We had some unexpected things come up. But again, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, this is one of the key things we're going to pray about. Because when I see this guy as a watchman, all the alarms go off. This is huge. God has given us a warning, given us a sign. So we'd love for you guys to come over here and join us. But I'm telling you, if things go south with these negotiations with Iran, President Donald Trump could order a military strike on Iran. Now, that could result, the results of that could be very catastrophic in the Middle East because there's other things going on. Remember, Israel has been at war at seven fronts. Okay. Then you had these rebels in Syria that took over major cities, including Damascus. Now I want to show you this. This is a report we saw this morning. What are we talking about? We're talking about harbingers, right? We're talking about blood moons. These are signs of war. Israel, look at this. Israel must prepare for a potential war with Turkey. Now, why is that significant? Because Turkey is a major player in prophecy of Ezekiel 38:39. Guess who else is right there with them? Iran, Persia, okay? So let's read a little bit of this. Israel must prepare for a direct confrontation with Turkey, according to the NATO committee's latest report on the defense budget and security strategy. The committee established by the government warns that Turkey's ambitions to restore its Ottoman-era influence could lead to, quote, heightened tensions with Israel possibly escalating into conflict. Wow. The report highlights the risk of Syrian factions aligning with Turkey, creating a new and potential threat to Israel's security. Look at that, guys. So now we have this possible conflict that Israel will be directly involved with Turkey, which is a major player in Bible prophecy. And we've been warning about that we're seeing the steps getting closer and closer and closer to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. All right, let's get back over here. I want to go over here. So not only do we have this blood moon that's going to be falling on, and I want to make a correction. I said April a while ago, March 14th, 2025. This isn't when Purim takes place. And so we got all this going on. All right. But there will actually be two more blood moons. One is coming this fall before Rosh Hashanah. Let me say that again. Another blood moon will be coming before the Purim one. And it will happen right before Rosh Hashanah, and then the third one also falling directly on Purim in March 3rd of 2026. Wow, guys. All right, guys, you cannot make this up. You have one on Purim of this year, March 14th. And then next year, are you kidding me? Another blood moon on Purim on March 3rd of 2026, and then we have one coming this fall right before Rosh Hashanah. Again, that's the Jewish New Year. That's when on the Hebrew calendar, they go into the new year. Also, where's my prophecy people? Many people speculate that there's a very good high probability that the timeline of the rapture, I'm not saying this year, but will take place on the Feast of Trumpets at Rosh Hashanah. So this, guys, we have got a lot going on. So let's recap this before we close this podcast today. So there is a major shift happening from left to right. Politically, I believe, culturally, and now we're seeing even the social media giants, the tech giants, are now feeling the wave coming to them, and the pressure is on them to restore us to the freedom of expression of free speech, which we will see if that happens. Then we now have people that don't even know God. Liberals, left-wing journalists that are looking for black swan events to transpire in 2025. Then we have signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, great and fearful sights from heaven. And those who have understanding of the times and seasons in which we're in, they will see these things and they will warn, and that's what we're doing today, and we will properly prepare accordingly. And I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Again, guys, don't forget tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we've got a lot to pray about. These events, we're going to pray into these events. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for your family. Many of you guys are praying and fasting. You're believing for breakthroughs. Again, if you're listening by Instagram, any other Rumble, Facebook, X, TikTok, whatever platform you're listening from podcast, you need to come over here and subscribe to us on YouTube so you can be a part of this. These live prayer sessions and devotional. We're going to have a quick devotional tonight. We're going to spend a whole lot more time in prayer tonight than we are in our devotional. So come ready to pray. Come into agreement with this. Again, guys, if this content is of value to you and you're blessed by it, our ministry is a blessing to you, we'd always love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Again, we are a partner-based, partner-supported ministry. We don't rely on merchandise sales. We don't sell merchandise. We don't sell subscription fees. The app is absolutely free. Everything is free. All we ask is that you pray about becoming a partner with us, and you can do that either electronically through the app, through the website, or you can give by check or money order to right there at your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, it's been a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. We're going to sign off for now. But remember, tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll be right back here at YouTube with our live devotional and prayer. Until we see you then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.